Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. Hello, Fairway Fit fans. Welcome back to the Fairway Fit Podcast. This is Brad, and I have Greg here with us. We are going to get started. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked, but we are back here for episode two. We have had some kind of hiccups. We actually recorded one time. It didn't seem to work out the way we wanted, but we are back here. We are super excited. We got a lot of information to go over with, and we are about 2 days away from some big things that are about to happen for us to show everyone about our commitment and what we're headed to do for golf. So just a quick recap of last week. Greg, we were able to sit down and talk about a commitment that me and you think we are wanting to get into. We are trying to become better golfers.
100%. I mean, let's face it. You don't play the game just to be out there in the nice breeze and everything like that. I want to score well.
Yeah, we are trying to take the hardest game out there and be better. And it is a very difficult game. We have extremely high expectations for this year. We talked about the commitment that we have made and what we're going to do over this podcast today. We are going to, over episode two today, we're going to talk a little bit about our blueprint and what we have come up with.
Like the Jay-Z song. It's all about the rock, baby.
We want to talk a little bit about our goals and how we are hoping to achieve our goals. And then we have some exciting news to talk about what we are got coming up 2 days from now. I mean, 2 days, we will be...
Two sleeps, that's it.
Yes, that's what the kids say. It's two sleeps. So
an old school Disneyland commercial where it's like, I'm too excited to sleep, and the kid couldn't go to bed.
I'd be honest with you, I don't remember that one, but damn. I'll give it to you.
I'll keep throwing them out to you. You'll get them sooner or later.
I'll give it to you. So one thing we talked about last week, I know I was able to get a hold of Court, and we talked a little bit about our commitment is what I'm planning on doing. And I was able to share that in our last episode. But did you get a chance to talk to Laura?
Yes. And after you know, hearing Courtney's just gracious words about how she 100% thought you could get there and stuff like that. Laura, love my life. I love her to death. She is probably the most humbling person I've ever met in my life. 100% agrees that I could probably really get good. But as far as when I told her, I was like, and part of it is to beat Brad on a regular basis. She was like, well, that's where she kind of had a hiccup. I'm like, damn. I'm like, you're my wife. You got to support me on that one. And she goes, well, she was like, most of the time you come home tail between your legs saying you lost a bet or money to Brad on the golf course. So I guess the past is now coming into the present. So I got to man up and start winning some matches.
Well, did you tell her that we're still sticking to the handicap system? So it's not stroke per stroke. It's still going to be a little bit adjusted.
Oh, I hear you. And tell you the truth, it's the goal is to get it down to the point where it doesn't need to be adjusted. We can just play straight up like my dummy name person did pretty much the entire first 3 years that I played golf with you.
I don't remember that. It was very equal.
Probably because your pockets were so fat.
And if those who were able to check out episode one, go back and look. Courtney actually kind of brought on a bet herself with you that she might be able to lower her handicap a little bit higher of a percentage than lowering your handicap. I agree.
Hope so.
I would agree. She is up there.
I will take on Courtney just as to be a driving force for her. Like I said, my biggest thing is I got to start beating you so that I get a public. We might have to bring T on here and have a public, like, you beat my daddy type spin. I mean, we might have to do it.
I will say they don't quite understand the handicap. They there's a lower score and the lower score wins. And I'd have to kind of remind them that's not how we do it. We try to keep it equal, although they don't quite understand that.
You mean you're not talking about gross and net income with your kids and talking about tax returns and everything like that?
Well, we will come March and April when it's tax season. But right now, I mean, the oldest wants.
So Sorry, kids, it's just ramen and water from now on.
Well, the oldest wants a phone, so she needs to learn how that actually costs quite a bit of money.
You're at that age. Oof.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'm experiencing a lot of things lately that are crazy with not only my wife but two other women in the house. It's getting quite interesting. One thing we wanted to make sure that we went over today was to talk a little bit about our goals that we have this year. And since last episode, I know we talked a little bit once in between here. We pretty much still talk every day, but let's go hammer out these goals. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and I want to hear what you have planned to really show us the commitment that you have for golf, and what are you going to do to get better?
So you want to hear my plan?
Do you want to? Let's go goals. Let's go goals. We'll share our goals, and then we'll go back to the plan.
Goals first. And me being the simplistic person that you know that I am, and I'm not one of those people that has like 75 goals to go. Mine are simple. I want to start small and work my way big. That way, if I check off two goals in the first weekend, then boom, I gotta do some bigger goals. So, constantly reiterating these goals. So maybe check back season three. Jesus, hopefully it's not season three.
Hopefully I
might have a new goal by then. But
you'll have a new goal, but hopefully it'll be trying to win some tournaments out here.
That's true. Touche. I have two goals. And my main goal is to have a round in the 70s. I have yet to have a round in the 70s in the last two seasons, which I've flirted with it. I've been there, but I have yet to have it for the last 2 years.
I am shocked when you say that. And we play probably, 85 to 90% of our rounds together.
Yep.
And for you to say that, I really do. And this is something that really does surprise me. I would have thought we've had a couple of slide in there and you were able to
always
77, 78, something like that.
I would think so too. I mean, I've hit the ball really well and then just, screwed the pooch on one or two holes. But I have a round in the 70s. And then ultimately, if I continue to just work towards that, I want to work into a single digit handicap. So I'm still sitting at 13.4. And yes, every Monday, thank you, USGA, for sending me that reminder.
I will hopefully
see that number starting to go down here
soon. I think we talk about this all the time. We get this email and it talks about this VSGA newsletter that I cannot find.
You in the face with your handicap, right?
Yeah. Away. No, it does. It
doesn't give you like an update of like, hey, Susie Q down in Minnesota, recorded a hole in one on her third hole ever or something like that. Send me something good to wake up to Monday.
I know.
Punching me in the face with my bad handicap.
I know it is. I know it's coming every night after I put a round in. I know I get an update the next day, either from the Grint or the VSGA that we use. And it's kind of, but I'm still looking for that newsletter. I just want to hear about what's going on in Virginia. I want to make sure everyone knows I'm not the only one, or read about other people that aren't the only one still suffering at this great game that we're trying to play.
I'm pretty positive that if they're in the newsletter, it's probably going to be things of like you being like, you know what? I hate that guy. Good for him for having his 14th hole in one on the same course that he's been a member of for 25 years. Like, no, I just want one sometime, some way with somebody there watching. Because 9 times out of 10, you know what? With my luck, I'm going to be by myself. I'm going to hit a beautiful three hybrid, or maybe even a 9-iron. We'll put a par 3. Not a long one. All right. We'll do a small little one, 135. We'll say 135, right? That's what I want. 135 yards. Beautiful, smooth little 9-iron. Maybe a pitching wedge. Nah, pitching wedge too much. And then hole in one. Just with somebody watching.
Yeah, I'm yet to record one. I think I told you that my brother was able to record one. And he got something pretty cool. He was able to take a picture of the ball. And it was a TaylorMade ball. Got sent to TaylorMade. And then TaylorMade sent him a bag tag. I was a little excited because I thought it was a bag, but it actually was a bag tag that goes onto his bag. And what's funny about my brother is now that he's playing in the UK and he plays in Scotland quite a bit, he carries like that Happy Gilmore bag that's like really small. Only he's got like 8 clubs, doesn't even play a full bag. Yeah, so he has that little funny bag that comes out. So I'm going to like – the bag tag might be bigger than the bag at times.
He
so doesn't
carry – how many clubs does he carry?
He carries eight.
Eight. So seven clubs and a putter.
Yeah. Clubs and a putter. I'll go both on that one. I don't quite know, so I'll just agree to both.
Depending on the course that he's playing, whether or not he throws an extra club or two in the bag.
I mean, he's playing in Scotland and UK and England right now. So he's actually headed to Royal Troon in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks time. He's got a really big, some big trips over there. He's really big on playing the top 100 courses. And I'm more in the, I want to play a 100 rounds type thing. So he likes to get out there, challenge himself, not only with nice courses, but different places as well. So reviewing your goals. I like them. I like them a lot. Rounds in the 70s. I mean, that could pop up tomorrow. And short maybe, simple. Yeah, that could pop up tomorrow. The single digit one. Let me ask you, when's the last time you have a recorded round? How long has it been?
The last recorded round I had was New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. So it is end of February. So it's been a couple. Do you know what?
That was a real life round. I've gotten some rounds that have been played on a sim, but that's about it.
I read on a simulator you are 3 to 5 strokes better on average.
Shoot, because a couple of those rounds have been pretty bad on a simulator.
Well, they'll throw them off. So with your next coming rounds, do you know what rounds are coming off? And are these next few rounds important rounds, or do you got a couple buffers in here?
It might go up before it goes down. I think if I remember correctly, I looked at it and there were some lower numbers like 85s or whatnot that are going to come off before any of like the 102s or 103s. So like I think it might kind of stay steady until I kind of push a bunch of those 100 rounds out.
Yeah, I noticed that since we've made this commitment, I know I've been able to get out and play a handful of times already. And I know you've been you're a lot more busy in the winter months than I am. And I've actually looked to see like, hey, does this one going to be a big number that comes off, small number that comes off? And I know within my next couple few, I have some 77s and some 79s coming off. So
if you go out there and throw like an 82 up there, your handicap's going to go up, and I'm going to then lose strokes when we're playing with handicaps?
Yeah.
Sandbag.
Sandbagging. I might somehow have a round tomorrow. Who knows? I might be at work and somehow playing golf at the same time. Who knows what's going to happen there? A couple OB balls, you know, couple four putts. I should be ready to go. So
The gonk is rather close to your, you know,
it is
your school.
It
you is can just pop over there for nine during your planning period.
See, I'm probably more likely to. Well, we'll get into that in a few minutes here. So let's talk about my goals. I like your goals. Very short, very simple. Those are easy. Obviously, they're probably pretty fluid. Where we're going to be adjusting these as the year goes on. I like to see the 70 round come off as far as you achieving it in the next few weeks opposed to the next few months.
Yeah, but I'm looking like month, two max.
Not week, though. Not week.
I mean, tell you the truth, man. If I go in with high expectations, I can only be disappointed. So if I set the bar low and I you know, you shoot for the moon, you miss, you end up in the stars type thing, but
right. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. So
another one of Greg's quotes.
Well, and you have many of them, and they're pretty good. We're gonna have to make T-shirts about them.
100%.
All right. So I like your goals. Let's move forward because we got a lot to talk about. And
Now, wait. I want to hear. I know that you're a goal-oriented person as well. How many goals do you have?
So since we've had, like I said before, when we opened up, we actually did record this one time. We didn't really like the way it sounded. I made some mistakes editing. So I've kind of dialed it back a little bit from the first time we talked. I'm still pretty detailed. I do have different facets of my goals, but I do think that I have an opportunity to reach a couple of them.
You no longer have 1A, 1B.
Yeah. Now I have like I have three or four here. Some of mine I do know are long term. I mean, they're going to take me forever. That's something I'm committed to, not only as for this season, but maybe for the future. And that kind of hits me on my first one. I think, you know, over the past about 18 months, fitness has been a huge aspect of my life.
Huge.
I left the job for my family to give myself more opportunities to be that better husband, better father. And when I did that, I wanted to make sure I did some stuff for myself to completely change my lifestyle. I've dropped pretty close to 100 pounds, if not just a touch more than 100 pounds. Still can't get to the number that I'm dreaming of, but I'll get there eventually. And so
slow and steady.
I want fitness to be a huge part as I continue. And not only I got into running, I run a lot. I run a tremendous amount. I'm anywhere between 15 to 30 miles a week, depending on what I've been doing. But I want to kind of take that into more of a fitness / explosiveness type thing for golfers. In that way, you know, I'm getting up in age, a little bit older than you, so I know it's coming. Although I didn't get a cortisone
than me. I mean, your birthday's earlier than September, and you're a whole year older than me. That's like basically over a year older.
I still haven't got a cortisone shot, but maybe you can elaborate on that later. But I have been able to, yeah. But I do want fitness to be a part, and that's just continue with my endurance, work a little bit on flexibility, core strength, and everything. I do think my basic fitness is going to help me in golf in general. I mean, I've dropped a tremendous amount of weight, so just being able to play golf more efficiently, not being dead tired, exhausted. I was able to go on a trip not too long ago where I played 9 rounds in 7 days, and I could have played more. I mean, it was – and those were walking rounds.
Let's be honest. Even at your biggest, it's not like you were on the struggle bus if it was cart path only and you weren't playing cart golf type thing.
Like, yeah, I never felt that way.
I will say this. The fact that, like – I mean, it was weird because I saw you every day, so I didn't notice the drastic thing. But then when I didn't see you every day, and then we met up at the driving range, like after probably like 3 or 4 months not seeing each other, like face to face, like I was blown away. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, I still get it.
I finally saw, like, from the start to that point, like exactly how much had changed.
Yeah, I still get it from a couple of people that haven't seen me in a while. They're kind of blown away, and it still makes me feel good. Like I said, it's a lifestyle now. And I honestly feel weird when I don't continue some sort of workout. And again, I'm not trying to bench 400 pounds, squat 500 pounds. I'm just trying to just be healthier, be more active with the kids and getting them out there benching. I'll be honest with you. I haven't done a barbell bench in years. It's all dumbbells, kettlebell stuff, a lot of body weight, ton of push-ups.
That baseball guy, you guys are just used to taking 50-pound dumbbells and repping them as many times as you can.
Well, we got to take care of the shoulder so we can throw. I mean, yeah. I mean, I didn't pitch, but
what is shoulder health? I don't know about that.
Seriously. So obviously back to the goals. My fitness goal is a huge one. I do want to come up, and I've been a little bit more of a golf nerd lately. I've been able to try to figure out more statistical things that can help you in golf. And I do have a goal of I want to find some sort of measuring tool that's going to help me statistically learn more about strokes gained, strokes lost, and really talk about the nerd side of the game, where I can kind of figure out what's going to help me as I practice and I get a lot better as far as my ball striking. I'm still going out there trying to improve ball striking and try to improve those numbers. I like to get to a point where it's more of a focus on one or the other for that day. I still like to go out and just hit a couple hundred balls, where I should be looking to more of a focus. So bring in the statistical measures, shoot, to be able to shoot different yardages with each different club, especially my scoring irons, improve 150 yards in, but try to figure out ways to improve more of the golf game, not just the golf swing. And I think I've been able to do that so far this year. I hit the range a couple times a week right now, play at least 9 holes once or twice, even with this weird weather that we got going on. So I want to find some sort of tool, if it's an app, if it's my own tool, if it's my own creating. I've tried writing numbers down, but I'm still kind of in the mix. I listen to some other podcasts. They give me suggestions and advice, and I want to try to do that as well. So between fitness, coming up with some sort of statistical measuring device, my other two are kind of similar to you. You want to break 80. I want to break par. I want to be par or even. I want to have a subpar round. I've had the opportunity to shoot 73, probably just over half a dozen times. Some of those are on par 71s, but I won't tell you which ones. But, you know, 73 sounds good. I just want to be able to throw up a round where I'm right at par. I think the best I've ever had, I was one over coming in on 18, and I needed a birdie, and I ended up three putting to shoot 74. So I've been pretty close. Haven't been there. Hopefully this is the year. That's the goal of mine as far as...
I'll set it right now. You shoot under par as long as I get to witness it. I'll give you $100 on the spot.
Yeah, but that's a couple of rounds of golf I play with you. I take $100 from you. So I don't... I mean, I appreciate...
on top of it.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But we'll talk about our bets as we go on here.
$100 on top of that. Actually, take that back. It might pay down your tab because let's face it, I'm coming in a whole new person this year. We're good.
I like it. Got to get you committed. I like it. So, but yeah, shooting in a subpar, par, even, or below. Heck, I would even take it right now at a par three course. Sometimes I think that might actually be a little bit harder. I would take that as a start, maybe a little asterisk next to it.
Hey, and then if you started shooting par at a par three course, you'd probably score a lot better even on a big course. Because, I mean, let's face it, most people's mistakes are 150, 180 yards in.
Yeah, I actually was able to get out the other day and for nine holes in between church and baseball practice for my little guy. Went out, got nine holes in. I had 2-3 putts, and I bogeyed both par threes. Ooh. So on a nine hole. So I shot 40, and I very easily could have been even the one under if I just hit a green here. I did have a sand save. I didn't get any birdies. I had good looks for birdie, but I wasn't rolling anything in. So it was a good round, but I'm like I said, I'm close. I don't think I'm very far away from getting a little bit more consistent. Oh, my new one, my new Odyssey putter. Yeah, that's the one that's in the bag for right now for a while. Got a pretty sick head cover. Can't wait to show you about
it. You do like to flip flop and
head covers?
No, not head covers. I have seen you like last year. I've seen you play one round in the morning with one putter and flip flop and go to a different putter in the afternoon.
Well, it's a field game, so it's a field game. I mean, you got to have the mallet, the two ball, the blade. You know, there's just
if it's bent grass or
what is it? The arm lock is coming. The broom sweep is broomstick is coming. I don't know if I'll ever do broomstick.
I saw something the other day that basically was almost called like a zero gravity putter, and it will basically, no matter how you swing it, will go dead straight. It will not like come offline at all. It's kind of ridiculous. I invested probably about a minute and a half of my time watching this video.
That's a lot.
Thinking that, like, especially for an ADHD kid, all right? But a minute and a half of my time that I watched this video, that I was astonished, and I was like, "Where's this guy going with it?" And he was just basically taking all the other mallet putters and stuff, and how you swing it, and it was going offline, and then basically his putter just somehow stayed on target, 0 degree loft, perfect every time, even if you swung it back.
Do they have that for the driver? Because I think I need that for the driver.
I just need to buy that one that has a shotgun shell in it, and you just put it behind the ball. You don't even
swing it. And it
just shoots it out. I think I would probably start scoring close to par with that.
Okay.
Oh, we'll see. There's a bet.
There's a bet?
If I can use that off the tee, I will play you straight up.
I mean, you're only like three. I'm only giving you like a one, if two strokes aside right now. So I don't know why you would be beating me with that. Went up. I mean, if you're a 13 and I'm a 7, that's three shots aside. So it's not, it's only, you know, I said one to two, so it's three shots aside.
I will say that the driver is my problem. If I'm hitting driver right, you're in trouble.
All right. So, but I'm in on this. I'm in on trying to find that shotgun thing. I do think we have a buddy, Mr. Long, that would be very intrigued in using thing.
He would be, tell you the truth, that would be a permanent issue in his bag.
Well, he already has two other drivers in his bag.
The
so
four other drivers would probably go away. His straight, his right, his hook, and his other straight, I guess. Those would all go away, and he would just hit that left and right.
Yeah, I'd be very intrigued for him to use that. So, but yeah, I want a subpar, even par, below round. And then my other one, very similar to you when it comes to handicap. I actually am sitting at a 7.2 right now, right around a 7. And I want to try to be sub 3. Obviously, a sub round or an even par round would really, really make a huge difference in that. With the handicap system changing not too long ago, I do get opportunities to play 9 holes a lot more. And they're, with them counting, it is, I do think it's easier to drop your handicap because it's counting it almost like an 18-hole match. And let's be honest, how many times have we gone 44-39 or 39-44? So I do think the opportunity to drop the handicap is a little bit easier. I don't necessarily think I'll ever consider myself as a 3, but when we start getting better and we start talking more about the mental game and having good expectations, I think we both can start, you know, benefiting from understanding the mental side and understanding the handicap side and the numbers side and all those things to just make us improve as we get forward. So, you know, fitness, finding that statistical thing, and to be honest with you, when I find that statistical app, you know you're going to buy it or use it as well too. So that's a benefit for both of us. And then try to get that round down to par or sub 3 are kind of where I'm sitting at with my goals.
I like a more condensed, more feasible, more manageable.
Yeah, and I do think doing those things is going to come from playing more golf this year. And I think if I can get into that 40 rounds, maybe 50 rounds a year type thing, where I could get to that those numbers a little bit easier. And that's kind of, you know, I've been telling you, I've been playing a lot of golf, and I got got some big news to tell you here, and I think you're going to be pretty excited about it. I know I'm excited about it. You might be more jealous than excited about it, but, you know, about a month ago now.
My attention.
Yeah, about a month ago now, and this was a little bit more of my wife's push than mine. I didn't keep her from it. We were able to join the golf course or the golf club that's, what is it, about
the
four?
The one that you can drive a Vespa to if you really wanted to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Vespas go 50 miles to the gallon. I could go anywhere with that thing. But yeah, I'm about 300, 400 yards from the number eight green. And so we joined. And so all those rounds that I've been telling you about, it's because I'm able to slide over there, hit the range, play 9 holes.
You are now a member.
I'm a member.
I'm not just a public guy.
Yeah, I went from municipal to member. I mean, municipal to member, that's where I'm at. And, dude, it's been awesome. Been absolutely awesome. When we joined. Yeah, I mean, I will be there.
Are you a 7-day member? Are you a weekday member? Are you weekend only?
Full membership.
Okay.
Yeah. So the wife, the kids will hit the pool, the tennis courts. I guess they do pickleball there too. We've been asked to play. I'm not really sure if I'm into that yet. I am. I'm into playing golf, and it's been awesome.
Why would
I've
you
been able to
pickleball?
Yeah. I don't know. That's right next to the parking lot. Maybe. I don't know. That's why people play it. So they don't have to walk very far. It's an old person's game. So they just, you know, right there in and out. But I've been able to go play 9 holes with the kids. I know we talk about court challenging you for handicap. I think between Tegan and maybe Tyler, I got some sleepers that may be able to challenge you. They've been out a couple times with me. My little guys played with me in the pouring down rain. And I mean, we're only 1 month in, so I can't be more excited about it. I literally wake up every day. I check the website to see the conditions and the tee sheet, and you know, I do go to work instead of going over there, but I will be there nonstop. And you know, one thing we had to do when we joined up, we had to give them a list of potential members. we not only put you, we put Laura, we put both of your kids as separate people. So I'm hoping that they're going to give you a call here and try to get you out there to try to join. I think it's a smart choice. I think it's a smart choice on your part to join.
What number did you put down for the baby?
It was yours. It was yours. So I just kind of
don't ask for him. I can represent. That's fine.
Yeah, it was a little scribble. So I kind of hopefully they'll just be able to pick it up.
Does he get a better deal because he's only 16 months old?
He has to play the front tees.
Okay, fair enough.
Front tees.
He'll stand up. It's good.
Yeah, but I mean, I know you're not close. You know, we are about 45-ish minutes apart, but.
I'll make the trek for that course. I know that course. It's a fun.
But I'm telling you,
course. I will say this. That kind of makes sense now. You've said you've been playing a bunch, and I haven't asked for like where you're playing or what you've just kind of thrown scores at me. It makes sense now because I believe that in episode one you were a 6.9.
Yeah.
And now you're a 7.2. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Here's a hypothetical question now that you're a
member. Oh, here we go.
Now that you're a member, okay? All right. You said you played with the kids, right?
Yeah. Now remember, we're golf club members. We're not country club members. I do have a reputation to hold up here.
You're a member.
I'm a member. Okay. There we go.
Me, when I walk in, they'll be like, what's your member number? I'm like, whatever his is. but okay. So your little man. Going to be playing a lot of golf, right? He's going to be playing with you. He's going to be probably going to the range with like his buddies. Like they're all going to be wearing like their loafers and everything like that. It's going to turn into like, you know, a member type thing. So here's a hypothetical right now. First time ever, he sticks one just outside the grip, right? Gimme range to beat you. That's the putt. That he has to beat you. Do you give it to him or do you make him put it out?
Huh. You know, I get asked this a lot. No, I wouldn't say I get asked this a lot, but I do make this comment a lot. I work out, I train to beat my kids. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I literally work out. I try to work out. I get myself in shape because there's only about three people I ever want to have beat me in my life that I never will let. Beat me in my life, and that's my kids. That will be a tough one.
Late, I did make that list, but I'm gonna try and get off that list.
There you go. But I do want them to have a lot of success. We went out the other day. I had my oldest. Now I've had to go out and make their own tees. They don't have family tees, and since my oldest being 11, and then the twins are 9, I've did some research on what yardages they should be playing. So we kind of go out to the fairway and I just kind of guess what I want to do. And they've had a little bit more success. We went out the first few times and they were playing the ladies' tees, which is about twice the distance they really should be playing. They don't have the junior. They don't have the family. I think when they have those, they just go out there and spray paint something or drop some tee boxes down. So I've been able to kind of create my own with them, and they've had so much more fun. They've actually have opportunities to get to the greens in 2, 3 on par fives. My oldest daughter ran in about a 20-foot par putt the other day and on a par five, and they're hitting the ball well. Obviously, they still have the big mistakes.
Any celebration besides a scream? Or was it
More of the shocking face look, like she was shocked that she did it.
I was kind of hoping that she was more of a ride the bull person.
we've seen parts of Happy Gilmore. We haven't quite got into all the shanties.
It's probably not appropriate for them at this point in time.
You know, maybe when mom's not around, we can watch it, but and just say, oh, I didn't know it was on.
What
type Court thing.
Don't know won't hurt.
But yeah, I'm telling you, dude, it is. It's everything I hoped. You know, 10, 15 years ago, I was a member for about a year at a golf course when I was still single, so completely different life. But now, man, it's awesome. Court and I had a date night. We went over there one night, and they have all these member guest tournaments. They have all these, they call it an ATF, where it's an annual tournament entry, looking to go to and try to play in a little bit of those. So I'm doing some things.
Do they have men's leagues there?
They have some stuff where they have an A team and a B team where they actually travel to other courses and play. Oh. But you have to make those teams. There's some qualifiers that you have to go. I think I'm going to try to get into those. It's kind of tough with the youth sports that we got going on. The spring's going to be busy between baseball, softball.
Would you be an A team or a B teamer?
It said you had to be a single digit handicap for an A team, and you had to be a 5 to a 15 for the B team.
Okay.
I know I would be in that single digit range. I think I'd probably be a little bit more comfortable never doing this to be on the B team, but they have a social coming up. They have a social coming up that I think I'm going to check out if I have time and it's on the schedule, but I think it'll be fun. They got a tournament on March 16th. They have a 3-club tournament where each member of your foursome is only allowed to use 3 clubs. So there's kind of some fun things to try to do.
Does everybody get a putter? Because I've seen 3-club tournaments sometimes where it's like,
I don't know.
3 clubs and then a putter.
I don't know. As many people as I know.
If I putted with yours, I would be putting at my chin. And if you putted with mine, you'd be bent over to your knees.
True. But I don't know what all the, like, I know a lot of people who are members there. I don't know how many people actually play in these things. So I'm trying to still get a good feel. The difference is right now when I go over there, I play golf. So I'm not around the clubhouse. I'm out there. I think when the weather changes and more people are actually kind of hanging out there at the golf club, especially in the summer when they're at the pool, I'll have more opportunities to meet some different people. They do have a member guest. You have to put in for a lottery to get into the member guest.
Oh, I'm sure it's probably hella hard.
Yeah, the only thing about the member guest this year, we are actually on another golf trip that week, so it's not something I'm going to want you to do with me. I do know you're going to be interested in the member guest, but my brother, who when he does actually move back from being across the ocean.
I understand blood comes before.
Well, it's not necessary.
Dad and brother should be number one and number two seeds. I just want to sneak into that third seed while Tyler is still young.
Well, dad's the one right now until Tyler starts hitting the ball a little bit further, and even the oldest Tegan does too. But the difference with Brian is it's not a blood thing. Is that he is a member to a pretty prestigious course that's holding his memberships.
That's true.
So when he comes back, I mean, the reciprocating member guest invite, I'm hoping goes to me. He's probably more likely not to choose me as his member guest partner.
At that point, I'll be beating you all the time, and he'll probably be like, you know what, I need a stick. All right, hey, Greg, why don't you come on out? And I'll be like, no problem.
So,
I actually probably live closer to you than Brad does. So.
Yeah, no, I would agree. You probably do. It's about the same, but you may be a little bit quicker. So if that happens, then obviously I may have to go to him. But it's kind of interesting to see a lot of tournaments. I'm trying to figure out before I flip the – because you got to kind of join the group. It covers all your fees and expenses for different things. They do have some club challenges where they go challenge other clubs. Not just in what I said earlier, like they have something called the Stone League Cup. I'm assuming they go over to the Western Loudoun course down the road, Loudoun Country Club, and play them. And
Rock
I don't
Harbor
think
too. It's not too far from Rock Harbor.
I would guess more like Winchester Country Club.
Okay.
Something a little bit older than a Rock Harbor that's a little bit newer. So I think it'd be cool. I'm really looking forward to it. It keeps me very planned out for the week. I sit there and I'm like, all right, I got 2 basketball games. I got a 3-hour chunk before game 3. I'll go over there and hit balls. Or all right, I got home from church. Court, I'm going to go walk 9 holes. And that's one thing too. I walk everything. We've only taken a cart one time. 50% of the rounds played at this course are walked, which is it's very challenging. It's a very hilly course. It helps my fitness. And that's one reason why I want to make sure that I stay in good shape to be able to feel it. The other day, Court and I went out and played 18 holes and I played okay. I did have a stretch where I had like played 11 holes in the middle there, about one over. Didn't start well, didn't end well. But
that's pretty much the entire round.
Yeah, not really.
11 holes, one over. I mean, I think the best I've played is like 2 holes, one over.
Yeah, but when you start 5 over through 5 and finish 5 over through the last 4, Now you're shooting 82, 83.
Okay. I understand.
It was, you know, couple balls OB, couple balls here and there, putts that don't fall. That kind of hurt me, but it's been fun. I'm telling you, I know eventually you're going to head this way, but why not, you know, already have that on your list. Instead of the list to do after you move out here, it's the list that you've already done. You can just check off.
I feel like you like speak like telepathically to my mother, because literally the last 3 days I've gotten like 4 listings for houses pretty much right in your area. And they're actually not bad.
Well, I know a realtor. She's pretty close to me. They can help you out. I've sent you some listings. I don't know what you're talking about, your mom. I've sent you listings to come out here.
I understand that too, but she sent me some ones that are more realistic for my affordability, where I'm not going to have to sit there and buy a house and then fix it up.
Well, you got to do what you can do. I mean, I'm kind of handy.
I know a guy. I know a guy.
I've done some work on your house. I mean, I did my own kitchen here. We've done some things, and when you know, YouTube is a powerful source.
That is true.
And we'll be able to knock that out. So
plumbing through YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, we could, but I'm telling you, we can have a whole episode on how I can get you to move out here. And if you did that, dude, you'd be shooting 70s in a heartbeat. I mean, I know Stoneleigh is a very tough course. You shoot 81, 82, that lowers your handicap. I mean, even lowers my handicap, because I think my course handicap is either a 9 or a 10. That's the differential with the slope and rating. So, dude, come on out. It's there for you. You'd be able to be ready to go. We would play pretty much every day. I plan on maybe even the weather gets nicer, you kind of squeeze in 9 holes and then head off to work. I'm not there yet.
That'd be sweet.
I know my brother has done that at his course when he was still here a couple years ago.
Judging by our work locations, we could be that ending scene of Fast and Furious where we just take opposite.
Part of. Yeah. So, I mean, there it is. So I think the goals we have, Greg, are very realistic. I think we need to make sure we keep our expectations in check. I think we need to make sure we still love golf and don't focus on the numbers so much, but learn from the numbers. I always hear about these people that get addicted and they end up hating golf. They get more frustrated than they do enjoy it. And, you know, our goal is just to be better. We want to be able to walk around
That's my biggest thing is, like, I just don't want to get to the point where I'm just like, I hate my golf life. Like, where, like, I almost like resent going to the course and practicing. That's the biggest thing is I just want to make sure that I keep it where I'm driven to be better, but I'm not like, if I go out and I shoot a 81, gonna be disappointed, but heck, it's better than the 102 that I shot 3 months ago.
Yeah, I really just would love to see for myself just more consistent rounds in the 70s, or being able to make a turn, or like, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, if I finish strong here, I can be at a low number. And then with being a member now at the club, I'll be honest with you, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want to walk around a little bit and have people say, hey man, he's a player, and he's not a guy going out there shooting triple digits. He's a player. And so those are goals.
I will say this. People say that about me all the time until they see me play.
You do look the part.
If you look the part, that's 90% of it.
I would agree. Enact it. You got to look it and act it. And then once you get past the first tee shot where nobody can see your shots anymore, who knows what's going on?
Exactly. As long as you get off the first tee right in front of the clubhouse, you're good to go.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. So, well, obviously with goals, we got to be able to have a plan. And we talked about, we're calling this our blueprint. And we have a blueprint in order to achieve those goals. My blueprint, I've written it out a couple times, very detailed. I broke it down per week or per day almost for every week. Now, obviously, we're not going to get into that part of the blueprint. I'm not going to go what I'm going to do Monday, what I'm going to do Tuesday, but I do think it's a value to you knowing that that's what I'm doing. I mean, I literally sit down over the weekend and I look at my week. I plan it out, what events that we have for the family, what I have to do in order to continue to live up to my opportunity.
Can you go to the range?
Right now, it doesn't open till
during season.
Yeah, right now I don't think it opens till 8:30, but I could see it opening at sunup. I think I think the first tee time during the week is 9 o'clock, and then on the weekends it's 8 o'clock, and they fill up a little bit, but it's actually the opportunities to go over there and just call on my way there. Hey, I'm looking to get a single off. It's pretty easy. I was at the range on Sunday, and I didn't see anybody around, and which was ended up being a really nice day. So I called up to the clubhouse and say, "Dude, I'm on the range. I got my two kids. Is it open?" And they said, "Well, if you could go to the tee within the next 10 minutes, it's yours." And I never felt pushed. I didn't chase a group down, and that's with me and two, 12 and under kids walking, and they're learning golf through walking, which I think is a great tool for them. I think if they do get into golf, this is just going to help them. Most people learn it on the golf cart. They're going to be able to learn kind of the right way to play. Because I do think you slow down a little bit when you walk. I do think you understand the game a little bit. You see some different things that you don't always see if you're in a golf cart, and more kind of appreciate the game a little bit. So they've liked it. I don't think they would last 18 holes, which I'm kind of okay with right now. Kind of more of my time to go. We did go out with a cart one time. That's the day we got rained on. So I just didn't want to be too far from with the weather turning on us. So, well, what do you got? All right. We got your goals. You want to shoot in the 70s. You want to be a single digit handicap. So what's your blueprint to get you there?
Once again, plan pretty simple. All right. Work out 5 days a week at least. Right. That doesn't mean that it couldn't be six. It couldn't be seven. It all depends on I got a 16-month-old and a 3-year-old. So depends on how they're sleeping, how they're eating, and how they're acting when I have some free time. Big thing that I want to get back to, and I'm going to start once again, start small and work my way up from there. I want to hit balls once a week. So actually going and hitting balls at a range to see flight and everything like that. I have foam balls that I can hit my backyard into a net all the time.
Not the same,
right? So I want to see. I want to get to a range and hit real balls, not go to Topgolf or anything like that. Shout out Topgolf. I don't mind you, but at the same time, ball flight's not always the same. But hit balls once a week, and I don't have a time limit on that. That could be me getting there for 25 minutes before it closes and hitting, just rapid fire. Let me get a bunch of swings and check ball flight. I want to work on my swing without balls. Sounds funny, but without the ball, without hitting an actual ball, and just focus on feeling it. You guys that have played with me all understand that I have a infamous chicken that I literally just get in my head about, and it gets worse when I get in my head about it. So I just want to work on feeling, tucking that back elbow, keeping it tucked in throughout, and lead shoulder, finishing nice and not really trying for the perfect swing, I guess you would say, but just feeling something that puts me on plane and basically allows me to swing fluidly and repetition wise, not really break down.
I like it.
The last one is just balance and like stability, mobility improvement. So, just basically that goes through core stability, that goes through rotational core stability, single leg stability, weight shifting, everything like that. Obviously, I'm going to be working on explosive movements like you are. All of my workouts aren't going to be golf related. I have other stuff I
shouldn't be
trained for too, but at the same time, like power, strength, explosiveness. But I really want to work on stability and mobility too, because I have a horrible upper back shoulder mobility problem.
Yeah. I mean, I read a quick article the other day that talked about the golf mobility, and it's not necessarily that you have to do extra exercises to focus on that. A lot of your regular old weight training is mobility in its own. So, for me coming to where I was, let's just say 2 years ago to where I'm now, I mean, I've had to have enhanced my mobility tremendously, just doing little things here again now to keep it up, keep it simple, and try to keep improving as I go, I think it's going to really help me out as well too. I mean, but you're spot on. 5 workouts a week. It's very easy when we're at work. When summer comes into play, I do think it gets a little bit more difficult for both of us. But doing something, I mean, I've learned a lot about fitness. It doesn't have to be 90 minutes in a weight room. It's 20, 30, 40 minutes. Could be body weight, could be kettlebell, could be dumbbells. It could be very simple stuff. And I think that's what I really have enjoyed is the trying to figure out different workouts that aren't your traditional Olympic lifts that I did for so long. And I loved them when I did them, but you know, being older, man, I just don't have the time and I don't want to spend 90 minutes in a weight room.
Half in the gym sounds like hell to me. Like I will say that. And I was that person that would have hour and 45 minute, close to 2 hour gym sessions when I was in my lower 20s. You know, I am perfectly fine with a 35 to 40 minute lift and, you know, 20 minute run or 20 minute bike or 20 minute elliptical or some type of maybe the salt bike or something like that but keep workouts into an hour. I mean, I try and work it into my day rather than taking away
correct
from home time. So
yeah, I think that's where I am. I'm 30, 40 minutes. I mean, I think yesterday my workout was about 35 minutes and I did 60 sets. It was 12 exercises, 5 rounds. And it's great because it's 12 different exercises in a row for 5 rounds. So I don't feel like I'm doing the exercise, wait 2 minutes, do it again. It's just, all right, I move from one muscle to the next, and I knock it out. I think today was closer to like 40 different ones in like 25 minutes. And then I go for a nice, easy jog. I mean, I'm anywhere between a mile to 2 to 3 miles a day right now. So it's been great. I feel so much better doing it, but I'm right there with you. That's part of my blueprint. And I know I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. It's right in my alley. It's trying to keep that workup load to 4, 5, 6, 7 days are great, but definitely 3 to 4 days a week consistently. I can always improve on my diet. I do love food. I'm not going to hide it. Not scared to have a snack here or there. Not scared to overeat every once in a while, but I think being able to get that exercise in at least makes me feel like it's not one meal that's going to crush me.
Right.
And, you know, you got to cheat. I mean, we're human. Understand.
Cheese fries are delicious.
Yeah.
Wings are delicious.
You know, instead, I found that, you know, instead of having 10 to 12 wings, you know, 6 to 8 has been efficient enough, and understanding that just don't overdo it all the time. And, you know, if you do, the next day be smarter and work a couple of days harder and then reward yourself at the same time. So
that's
the fitness part.
My methodology is just work out as hard as you can so that if 20 wings are plopped down in front of you, you eat it, you feel bad for about 2 seconds and you move on with your life.
Yeah. And I am trying to, if I do overeat, I definitely try to overeat protein and just have the meats and different things to help out there. I feel a little bit better if I do that. If you overeat the carbs, you tend to feel like more lethargic and lazy afterwards. So
well, you always have healthy proteins too, because you're a deer meat guy.
I try. Still got quite a bit in the freezer. Didn't get anything this year, but I do have quite a bit still in the freezer from last year. So can't complain there.
Too busy joining a country club. I mean, a golf club.
Golf club. Big difference. Golf club people, not country club people. So, but. No, I love it. I love the fitness aspect, the practice aspect. I mean, come on. You got to know that's in my blueprint as well, too.
100%. I guarantee you yours is going to blow mine away.
So it does and it doesn't. My more is not just going out to hit balls. It is going to go out with practice with a purpose. I've watched a lot of videos that talk about, you know, you can take a 60-minute time, break it up, 20-minute putting, 20-minute with your irons, and then 20-minute maybe just chipping. And learn how to just take advantage of 60 minutes at a time. And I kind of talked about before is that when I plan out my week, if I only have 60 minutes, I need to do a better job of getting over there for that 60 minutes and practice with a purpose. I've tried to putt. I'll be honest with you, I'm more of let's go hit 159 irons and go back and forth to the hybrids and the drivers. I will hit wedges.
Mentally play holes.
Yeah, I will hit the ball. But I've got to find more practice time on the putting green, to a point to where I've even thought about trying to get a lesson, maybe a putting lesson. I don't mind a swing lesson. I don't think I have major swing flaws, but I don't want to be a vanity swing. I want to be my swing, what works best for me. I mean, being a, coming from the baseball background, hitting the ball isn't necessarily always a challenge. Now, hitting it straight is a challenge. Finding a square club face. I do think if I want to try to get to sub three or even lower as a handicap, a maybe not a lesson, but a golf coach is a value, where somebody that can just reassure that I'm doing some good things with my golf swing, but also teach me how to play the golf course. I mean, I'll sit here and tell you that I think I know how to go out and play even my home course down the street here. But let's be honest, there's probably things that I do that are low percentage where I want to get into that higher percentage. I guarantee
if you had one of those like playing lessons with like a pro, they would probably pick you apart. I couldn't imagine. Yeah. I couldn't imagine doing that. I'd probably tell them to go, you know where, like pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, you do wear a wristband that says, "What would Brad do?" And if you we've ever talked about, if I could caddy for you, you'd shoot in the 70s. I mean, it's inevitable.
But most of the it's just so difficult because most of the time I'm just like, no, you're not going to caddy. You're going to play me and you're going to try and win money off of me.
Correct.
Try and win.
Been successful, but yes. Yeah.
You're probably batting. Put it this way. If you took your winning percentage against me on the golf course and put it to your batting average in the MLB, you'd probably be making more money than Bobby Bonilla every July.
Well, let's be honest. I'm making my caddy's fee. I mean, sure. I'm making it back by just beating you. I'm just making my caddy's 10%. So, but yeah, I want to just be able to practice with a purpose. I mean, if it's understanding 150 in, I'm hitting the ball longer with my irons now. Mm-hmm. Been able to upgrade that stuff. I mean, I'm carrying 9-iron out to 160, 165. So trying to get better 150 in with my wedges, understanding there's the three-quarter swing, this, you know, however you want to look at it, shoulder swing, hip swing, however you want to play the clock system or whatever it is. I just want to do it more consistently. And again, but also still have realistic expectations. I listened to a podcast the other day that talked about during Tiger's prime, his prime, when he was winning 40 to 50% of his tournaments, he was still only hitting 50% of his fairways. And so I can't get mad at myself if I'm not hitting 75% of my fairways or 75% of my greens. I have to be more realistic, take what the course gives me, move on from shot to shot. And I do think if I can hole a couple more putts, that makes that job a little bit easier.
Realistically, what do you aim for as hitting fairways? And I'm talking like you hit the fairway because, I mean, me, I will say that I probably hit 10% of fairways total, maybe for my entire career, because like if it's 5 yards off and if it's in play, it's not in the fairway, but like
how many, what percentage per round do I want to hit?
Realistically, like give me a percentage of what you want to aim for.
See, I don't even know if I could give you a percentage. I want to say I want to have open looks on my second shot. Because at Stone Lee, I mean, you know for a fact, you've played here.
You got blind shots.
And you can hit the fairway. Right. And when this ground gets harder, you're still going to be 3 yards off. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay being 3 yards off as long as I have an approach shot into the green. But then again, I go back to it. Well, if I can hit a fairway and not run it off the fairway, I'm going to be more consistent at hitting greens. I mean, that percentage is going up. I don't always look at my fairway number. I used to concentrate a lot on my greens number. I always said if I could hit double-digit greens, I was going to score 80 or below. I could not even putt well, but if I'm hitting double-digit greens, I'm going to two-putt more than I'm going to three-putt. If I missed the green getting up and down, I still was going to be somewhat successful in doing the simple up and downs. The tough ones, I don't know if everyone's going to get them. You know, now I look at it, if I miss a green, I want to make sure that I have something that I have an opportunity to make par. And if it's a 20-foot putt, it's a 20-foot putt. I try not to let that bother me where I don't chip something in close because I chunked it or thinned it across the green where I blow it by the hole. Got 20 feet coming back, but I have a 20. I have an opportunity to make a 20 footer. What really would frustrate me is if I have a short-sighted trip and I leave it short and I'm chipping again and I don't get it close. That's the stuff I try to eliminate. And if you can eliminate, for me, if I can eliminate one per side, now I'm looking at bringing that 80 to 82 down to a 79-80. Then I'm going to get more confidence. I get more confidence. Now that 79 becomes a 77 without me even really trying that hard. Because I'm going to roll in a putt with, and then my next putt will have more confidence.
I take way more shots of fireball.
Oh yeah, I mean you got to have birdie juice. Got to have birdie juice. I mean the stock. I mean I am loading up for this year because everyone I make when you're not around me, I'm saving you a shot so we can take
okay,
that.
Okay, that's gonna be wonderful.
Yeah, you're gonna be rough when you come over for 4th of July this year. So, but yeah, I mean practice with a purpose. Just have a plan to go over there and do it. Don't just go pound balls. And, you know, I don't need to go hit 200 shots. You know, when I take the kids over there, hit a couple shots, and then I do help them out.
Yeah, coach them up.
Yeah. I have been found that it's been really awesome because with Tyler, he loves putting, which is great. I mean, I can't ask for more. So I tend to find him turn around and he's on the putting green. And I know, I mean, I didn't even play golf at 9, 10 years old. So him wanting to putt just tells me right then and there that he has a little bit of a passion.
Or he just wants to be that putt national champion in the world. Have you seen
wants
those
to be
guys?
The putting, putt champions?
The putt champions, that guys that like are just legit. Even like with like the clown and the windmill and stuff, like they're just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, they go to their happy place.
Exactly.
And then they're good. They go to their happy place and they're all set.
The two pitchers of beer. They have the horse riding midget and little person.
Yeah.
I don't know what not
little person
offend anybody, but
little person. Might have to cut that one out. Little person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean Greg, I'll tell you what, man, I'm kind of stoked. We got some solid goals. We've come even in just our little bit of time here from episode one, we have our goals. We have a blueprint. We need to be able to hold ourselves accountable. And I know that's something we've been working on. I know that's something we're going to work on a lot this weekend, which we'll get to in a moment here. But we want to make sure that we, in some which way or form, have a competition to be able to get us to compete a little bit more on the golf course, because otherwise, you know, what are we doing? We want to not only get better with ourselves, but get better between the two of us. So I think we have a really good plan. We have a solid blueprint to get us to there. But let's talk about what we're doing here in a couple of days. You know, you want to let everybody know?
Dude, it's the annual Myrtle Beach trip, of course.
Yeah, so one thing we're going to try to do is to get some sort of bet, and we're going to get this up on our website. And you'll be able to check it out. We're going to kind of compete in what we believe are going to be our majors of the year. You know, you could be the LIV tournament. You could be LIV golf. I'll be PGA Tour, vice versa. But we're going to come together for the majors. And we're going to have four or five tournaments this year that
maybe we should flip that. Because technically, judging by years past, you bring in more money. So maybe you should be LIV and I should be PGA.
I don't know. I think they both make a lot of money right now. I mean, it's all about money.
I don't know. LIV is just out. Well, actually, no, that makes sense because LIV pays out more money. Maybe I should be LIV.
Guaranteed.
You should be PGA. Okay.
LIV's right. Guaranteed.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're on LIV, you're going to have to play against Anthony Kim coming up this weekend.
Oh, that's
how about that?
Fine. He's washed up.
Coming back after 15 years.
Is he older than you?
I honestly have no idea. I have no idea.
I like their I like their hype video for him.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Not to get on a side note. Do we want to announce the courses that we'll be playing?
So we do, but let's talk a little bit about – so our bet is going to take place. We have – right now we have preliminary about 4 to 5 what we're going to call majors, which are going to be either golf trips or bigger events in our local area where we get together. We're still undecided if we're going to be stroke play, match play. We're just going to have fun with it. We're going to have 4 to 5, and then we're going to have a culminating event at the end of the year where we'll call our final major. We're going to have some sort of bet. We've talked about maybe the loser has to caddy. I know I brought up having Greg run a 10K in a full tuxedo, where he'd have to rent a tuxedo, go run a 10K in that. Greg's talked about some different things as well, too. A lot of it goes back to caddying, so I think that might end up where it's going to be, but we're going to have a trophy.
The Ricky Fowler fit was pretty good, too.
That was a good one where we're all in our, what is it, Oklahoma State orange, and we have to do Ricky Fowler. I really do love, I go back to the caddy. You know, we do tend to play a lot in a turkey shootout. We've been doing it for a couple years, and I think that's with like 40 of, some are your friends, some are my friends, but for now they're both our friends.
They're all of our closest friends.
I think that would be funny that if you had to show up in a jumpsuit and caddy for me
not,
in a
not play at all and just caddy
not play at all, time. Not play any in a no, not in a stroke play round, but in a scramble.
Yeah,
you would have to caddy for a scramble in your Masters white jumpsuit. But we're going to come up with those and we're going to fill you guys in. It'll be on our website. But I tell you what, you know, we've talked a lot about our goals, talked about our blueprints. If you have any comments, post below. Make sure to like and subscribe to us as well, too, as we get going here, trying to build our podcast and get our information out. But, Greg, let's talk about it. We're headed to Myrtle. We are less than 48 hours. We'll be in the car.
Two sleeps away, and you're going to be driving me down there.
Yeah, well, I drive everywhere, and we know that. Yes. So I'll take care of you. I'll get you down there.
Nice. I'm a passenger princess.
We got a couple buddies coming with us, staying at a friend's house, going down there, staying in Myrtle, but we're going to head a little bit south to Gulf. Let's talk about it. Where are we playing?
Myrtle's Inlet is the place for golf. So, all right, starting it out strong, 7:45 in the morning, bright and early. Are we getting up to run that day?
So here's the thing. I think we're 30, 45 minutes from the house, and one thing I have noticed – the rounds that I warm up on, I do a heck of a lot better. The rounds where I rush to the first tee, they don't usually score as well early on. So
is that a no for me, dog?
I'm not against the running, but you got to remember who we have going with us.
That's true.
Getting his butt out of bed might be the issue.
Yeah, 100%. So starting off at 7:45 on Friday. All right. We got Wetchsaw East. Got a nice solid foursome there at 7:45 in the morning. I think it's going to be a little dewy. I think we're going to not get some runoff in the morning, but then it's going to heat up, and then I'm going to be rolling in putts from everywhere. Following suit on Friday, we have the International Club of Myrtle Beach. Tee time, 1:20. That's doable. Are we gonna have time to stop for lunch there?
I don't know. I told the wife that I had to go to the store because I was thinking peanut butter and jelly packs, so I could eat through the course. I mean, I gotta keep my energy up.
I might need to do that too. Peanut butter and banana protein sandwich. Go Tiger Woods style.
Peanut butter banana sandwich, protein bars, ready to go there.
So that's day one. All right, day one is probably going to be beautiful for me, and I'm just going to hit all of my goals right away, like 100%. Just boom, right off the bat, 70s round. Second one, International Club of Myrtle Beach. Sounds easy. We're just going to go ahead and go there, another 70s round. I might be in a single digit by day two of this thing.
Greg, I got to interrupt.
Yeah, you're gonna ruin my flow. What?
I'm not gonna ruin your flow, but I want you to go back to our text strand, and I want you to go to the next picture of five courses.
That's the one that I highlighted. I don't even have that text string up.
The one with all the other two guys that are going with us. Here, let me send it to you. I think you're off. I know this took a while, but I think you're a little off. And I hope you've been studying those courses, because I don't think we're playing those two.
Damn it.
Am I off? Am I wrong? I may be wrong. I've been known.
I don't know. I have. That was the last picture that you sent.
No, I had one right below it. I think we went back and forth, and then when you all didn't decide, I went back to the original one. Where on Friday, at 8:01. So we got a good old 15 extra minutes. We were going to do Willbrook Plantation.
And then Tradition. That's and then, good. I've played there before.
And then Tradition Club in the afternoon. And then we turn back to Caledonia, which I've heard is probably the most – one of the most fun courses to play in Myrtle Beach. I've been able to watch a couple YouTube videos on it, so I'm ready. And then True Blue in the afternoon. And then Pauly's Plantation to finish up our weekend.
We need to lock it in.
I will confirm that tomorrow, but I'm 99% sure that these are the five, especially because the dollar amount is a little bit more accurate to what you guys paid me to lock it in. So, because if it's not, then I need to go get some refunds.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
But I have heard nothing but good things about Pauly's Plantation and Caledonia as being some of the most fun courses to play. They're not too long, but it's also not a driver wedge show. So we're going to have to figure out a lot of four irons, hybrids off the tee. I did do some research today to prep myself because, as we talked about, this is going to be major number one. We haven't quite decided on what round. And I know we originally talked about maybe Saturday round, but with some weather possibly coming in, that I think maybe we hold off and decide as we get closer to what round we want it to be on.
I think the heavy stuff's going to come down for a while. I would keep on playing.
Keep on going. I'm having the round of my life, so I might as well keep on going. But yeah, I think we can be able to choose which one we're going to do. I do think, and ask me if this is a bad thing, I do think for the first majors, or for the majors in general, if you win the major, the other person can take the winner into the pro shop and at least buy them a shirt or a hat, something from the pro shop. And that's the first bet. Now we'll add on, we'll make this a year-long thing. We'll have a season where we will compete on a weekly basis. But I think at these majors, if we do this right, you have the opportunity to go into the pro shop and just maybe not an item, but buy something that the significant value to show that you are the winner of the major.
I agree to that.
You think that'll work?
Solid one.
So it's simple. Could be a hat. I know it could be some Nike gear for you if they have Nike gear.
100% Nike gear.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, we'll figure it out. But I'm going to go in, definitely probably get a ball or two to memorize my first win of the first major. So,
do you want me to sign it for you too?
No, I'm going to have to put my even par round on it.
Okay. Right next to my under par round.
Your under par round.
If you finally shoot par, but then somehow I shoot lights out and I go under par. And
well, let's be honest. There's a hypothetical.
What if you have the round of your life, you shoot par, but you lose? Are you happy or sad?
I mean, of course, I'm not. I'm happy for you, but sad for me. Does that work? I'm happy for you because I want you to achieve. Because the better you get, honestly, I might actually be a little bit more excited for you because the better you get, the more golf you're going to play, and then you're going to actually have to battle the wife to go come out and play. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you'll have a room in the basement. You'll be living out here. We'll be playing at Stone Lee on a regular basis. So
everything will be right in the world.
Everything will be coming together. Finally, our dreams are coming together. The only other dream is to have our company take off and then we just play golf full time. I don't know. My last dream, maybe you caddying for me as I make like the Corn Ferry Tour.
Okay.
I mean, we can alternate. We'll go every other weekend. I'll play one weekend. You caddy for me.
Why does this sound like Ricky Bobby and Cal Notton? Like maybe sometime I can win. Be like, yeah, but if you win, then I can't. Like
and that shake and bake.
Good. Exactly.
Shake and bake. Shake and bake. That's all we can say there. Great movie. But yeah, so we are headed to Myrtle. We're 2 days away. Got to go to the work, do the grind tomorrow, get myself packed up. We got some fresh gear that we're going to check us out on social media as we start posting a bit more as we get going here. Follow us at Fairway Fit Golf. And we are excited. I know you have to dust off your clubs. Mine have to be cleaned. And then, I mean, we will be swinging it before we know it. Go to see Dad for dinner on Thursday.
Where are we going for that?
I don't know. I was really hoping that the Tiger Woods Place pop stroke was going to be open, but it doesn't open until next weekend. Or next week, I think it is. I mean, it's Myrtle. Yeah, we can go anywhere we want. Dad will have some good places to go, so we can go from there. Yeah, I mean, I won't complain. Probably be a little bit shut down still. I don't think it's quite peak season. I think we're entering it.
No, last year it was kind of shut down too. We didn't have everything all hours of the night, but
probably going to have to stop by PGA Superstore.
100%.
Check out some rain gear.
I'm not regrip my clubs in the middle of the golf trip this year.
But you could come home with a new hybrid. I mean, I don't know. The opportunities are there. But man, I tell you what, I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a great talk tonight. We've gone over our goals. We've gone over our blueprint. We talked about our majors that are coming up. And I tell you what, within 48 hours, we'll be on our way to Myrtle. I mean, let's be honest. We're trying to get better. So when we go on these golf trips, we are competitive. We're having a lot of fun enjoying these trips and building these memories as we move forward here with our commitment. I can't wait. Greg, you got anything else?
No, we got to pack and then get ready.
Please drop us a comment. We'll try to get back to you. Like us, subscribe, and we'll see you at the ninth green at 9:00.